So we're starting this journey today on the story. And it's a book called The Story. Now, whenever we have a book and someone thinks, well, now, how was this put together? It was put together by authors, of course. But this story is really a chronological order of God's story throughout Genesis to Revelation. And so what you find in this book is scripture readings. So it takes you chronologically. And we've talked about this the last several weeks as we're getting geared up for today. That for many of us, we go through the Bible and it's difficult to kind of see that whole story, what that looks like. And so we are excited that for the next 31 weeks, we are going to spend time in the story. And so if you have not picked up a copy of the story, you can go to the back in the lobby and get one today. Also, as part of the story, to expand this and to kind of help us together as a church to learn about God's story, for some of you who may be Bible scholars and know the Bible inside and out, and others who don't know it that well, that we have formed what's called FOB groups, Fellowship of Believer Groups. And they meet on Sunday mornings at 11 o'clock and also on Wednesday evenings, or there's a couple other options. And what we have discovered is, and what we're trying to do, is that we as a church family are coming together to be part of God's story and to interact together and to discuss and to learn more about God's story. And so I would encourage you to do that. The thing about the story is this. We are essentially, if you take it down to a nutshell of these next 31 weeks, this is what's going to happen. That we are basically living between two gardens. The first garden is in the Garden of Eden, where God, and we see the picture of God walking with Adam and Eve, and it's peaceful and it's so wonderful. And then you go from there the whole way through to Revelations to the next garden. And that is the garden again where there is peace and God has revealed himself and will be with God. But for the next 31 weeks, we are going to spend time between these two gardens. And so I'm inviting you to walk alongside of us as we take a journey between these two gardens. Now, we're going to go through this, and one of the ways I've decided is that we have to think about the story in different levels. The first level is the upper story, what God is doing. And a lot of times, we don't know what God is doing, right? We don't know. I mean, God's up there, and something's happening, and so we're going to see that as part of the story, this upper story. And what I'm going to try to do, to give you a little visual, whenever I talk about the upper story, I'm going to get up. Okay? A little higher. And that's going to be a visual for us to know where God is speaking and things are happening in the upper story. And then we have the lower story, which is really the story of the Bible. And we see different people within the Bible and things that are happening and the lower story. And we know that God's story is interacting with the lower story. But if we just stopped right there, if that was the only thing we did, we would miss really one of the important parts of the story, and that is our story, my story, your story. Do you know that you are part of God's story? And so we're going to go through that and work at that. But this morning, we're going to kick off at the beginning, the first chapter of the book of the story, and start with creation. The beginning of life as we know it. Now here's what you have to understand, that this part is so crucial to the rest of the story. If you miss this part, and if you don't understand what is happening in this first act, it will make it difficult for the next 30 weeks. It would be like, and this has happened to me several times, going into a movie theater, and you go into a movie theater and you sit down, and I'm an early bird, because I like to get my popcorn, and I like to get ready, and I don't want to miss anything, so I walk in. But you know those people? And I'm talking about when they walk into the movie theater about 15, 20 minutes late, and they push through, and they push through, and they sit down to someone that's already there, and they say, "Hey, what happened? What's going on?" And everyone behind is going, "Shh, shh, shh. No, what? I don't understand. How did this happen?" Well, if you miss the first part of the story, you will be a little bit like the person that annoys me in the movie theater. Not that you would ever annoy me, don't get me wrong. That would never happen. So let's start with the beginning. It says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, one of the things I want to do today is I want to talk about four big movements. Four movements in this first part. The first movement is this, where God speaks and he makes the heavens and the earth. He creates. In other words, God speaks and he makes the heavens and the earth. God said, let there be light. And there was light. And he said it was good. And then there was another part of, I don't get every one of them, and then to separate water. And he says, oh, that was good. And then he brought vegetation to the land. And he said it was good. And then he said, we're going to bring light. And he means by the sun and the moon. And he says, this is good. And then he's going to have, with the water, is going to be living creatures. And in this upper story, this explosion, think of a blackboard. And all at once, God puts color and things in, creating his creation. And all these wonder things that are happening. And he says, this was good. Have you ever cooked something? When you got done, you even know how you got it, and you said, man, this is good. For some of you who are in quilting, you take these patchworks, and this church is really known for that. You take it, a quilt, and you put these patches together. You don't know what it's going to turn out exactly. You have your idea. And then all at the end, when it's done, and you hold it up, and you go, wow, this is good. This is good. Or you create something, or maybe you write a song, and a song comes, and you're done, and you're like, how did that happen? You know, this song is pretty good. Well, that's what God did. God created the heavens and the earth. God put color to the earth. And here's God in all of his glory. He says, this is good stuff. God, the creative God, creating so many things. And he speaks, the Bible tells us, and he makes all this happen. Well, then we come to our second movement. You're reading the story, you go to the second movement, is this. God makes people. He made place and he made animals and other things, but then God made people. And in Genesis 1:26 and page 2 of the story, God said, let us make mankind in our own image, in the image of God, he created them, male and female. Now, this is what you have to understand. When you're reading God's word in the story, he kept on saying it was good, it was good, it was good, it was good. But when he made people, he said it was very good. So you, every one of you, he's so impressed. And he said it's very, very, very good. And God is involved. We know in the movement, the first movement, God speaks. But we see in the second movement where God is creating. And he creates something so amazing. He creates man and women. And what we have is this creation, this unbelievable, intimate moment with God where this is what happens. God, the Bible says, breathes life into people. Not some far-off thing, but God intimately breathing life into each one of us. There was a mom and a dad who were coming home from Sunday school, from church one day, and they had a 7-year-old girl in the back and a 5-year-old boy, and this part I'm hoping happens to every one of us as we're talking about the story in little children, junior high, senior high, elementary school, and adults, that we talk about the story of this next 31 weeks. So this mother and father were coming home from church, and 7-year-old girl and a 5-year-old boy, and the dad says, looks back in the rearview mirror, hey, so what'd you guys learn today in Sunday school? Well, we learned about creation. Okay. Now, parents, this is the point where you, instead of saying, oh, that's nice, you say, well, tell me about it. Okay, so the father did it. He says, okay, tell me about it. He said, well, we learned about, and she turns to her little brother and says, we learned about Adam and Eve and how God made Adam And then he was looking for someone, for Eve, and he needed something from Adam. And the little girl turns to the other, her brother, and says, needed something. So God took Adam's brain and put it in Eve. And the dad goes, no, okay, honey, that was, okay, I don't think that's quite how the story went. And the mother says, no, that's how I read it also. So just for clarity's sake, it was a rib, okay? Just for clarity's sake. But we read that, but we have this picture of how God created the heavens and the earth, and he speaks, but God intimately creates man and woman. And we get a glimpse of that in Psalm 139, one of my favorite passages, one of them that if we read Psalm 139 and really, really take that to heart, that words is also about us. When he talks about how we were made in our mother's womb, that he knew us long before anyone else did, and he was shaping us and he was forming us. And when I read Psalm 139, and I'm down, and I don't know if I'm worth anything, and I don't know how things are going in life, and I go to Psalm 139, and you know what I get when I read that? I get this picture of God who is breathing life into not only Adam and Eve, breathing life into everyone here today. And that God has a desire to walk with us in the garden. That the heart of God, that the love of God, that God is so precious. And I mean, we are so precious to him. And so one of the things I thought about is that sometimes we don't feel that way. Sometimes we struggle with that. And so here's what I'd like you to do this week sometime. It might seem a bit awkward. It might seem a little weird. But can you just bear with me for a moment? I would like you to say these words. I want you to go to a mirror in your house someday. And if today things aren't going well, and I want you to look in the mirror, and I want you to say these words. You are the pinnacle of God's creative work, his masterpiece, the treasure of his heart, and the apple of his eye. Would you do that this week? It may seem odd, it may seem weird, but what that connection does is you're looking in the mirror and you're reciting that and looking back at yourself, no matter how you look, no matter what it is, that God loves you and God cares about you. That you are the pinnacle of God's creative work. You're his masterpiece. You're the treasure of his heart and you're the apple of his eye. So God creates people and he says, it was very, very good. Now, when we talk about God's created and creating people and different things, we have to understand the difference between your junior high science class, Big Bang, and the biblical creation movement. When you understand God's story, when that story becomes part of you, you understand that you aren't an accident. That you were created by God, and he has a plan for you. And you were not some random accident that was created out of some slime cosmic explosion, but you came from the heart of God. He made you. He desires to walk with you. He wants to walk with you in the garden. The beginning of the garden, his desire is at the end of life, no, you can walk with him throughout this time through Jesus, but at the end, you walk with him in the garden. The other thing is to know that you are not alone. You are not alone. You are sought and loved by God. He breathed breath into you, and he loves you. And this is the story that we walk in every day. And then movement number three, the third movement, is a big, big thud. Then there's sin. See, God had showed up in the garden, and we have this picture, and I see this visualing of God walking the garden with Adam and Eve, and I just picture that wonderful walk, peace, no conflict, and things are going well. And that's the desire of my heart. The desire of my heart is to be able to walk with God without conflict and with peace and have a joy in my heart. But in the lower story, in Genesis 3, we have this, a real place and a real story, that now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God made. He said to the woman, "Did God really say, 'You must not eat from any of the tree in the garden?'" The woman said to the serpent, "We may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say we must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden. And you must not touch it or you will die." "You will certainly not die," the serpent said to the woman. "For God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be open and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." When the woman saw the fruit was good for food, she took it and ate it. And she also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized they were naked, so they sewed fig trees together and made coverings for themselves. And then we have one of the saddest lines in all of Scripture. It says, "The man and woman, they heard the sound of the Lord walking, and they hid and ran away." The first two people reject God's vision and are escorted out of the garden. See, that's a reality. That's the story. That's what happened. That's the thud. You see, when I hear those words, one of the things I say that jumps out at me is, did God really say? You can put that in the context of what happened the first time, but I'm going to put it in the context of our story. Did God really say? Did God really say? Try it. You'll like it. The office door is closed. No one will know. Have fun today. Say sorry tomorrow. And then another word that comes to me in our story, and the challenge is this. Not only did God really say, but the other word he says is, you will not die. In other words, you will not get caught. No one will ever know. Try it. But see, here's what I realize. When I hear those two little sentences, did God really say, and you won't die? I realize, and you realize, that the same tactics that Satan used in that story is the same tactics he uses today. Why? Why? Because the same playbook worked well back then is the same playbook that works for us today. And so Adam and Eve, they ran away. And what happened, and we read the story of Adam and Eve, and if you read the story, you can go into more depth and you read the Bible. You realize that there was this moment where they were walking together in the garden, Adam and Eve, in this wonderful picture. And now they hid and they realized they were naked and all these things happened. And then you know what else happened? And then this gets back to our story. There was conflict. There was blaming the other person. All these things started happening. And sin started spreading. And it spread to Cain and Abel. And we had the first murder in the history of the world. And the world is getting worse. And in Genesis 6:5, it says, Lord God saw how great man's wickedness of the human race on the earth had become. And that every inclination of the thoughts of the human heart was only evil all the time. The Lord was grieved that he made man on earth, and his heart was filled with pain. And so God decides to start over. He takes Noah's family, and they build an ark. And you know the story, and you read it this week, hopefully. And he took on that ark Noah and the animals and his family. You know what else went on that ark that day? Sin. Because after the flood, after God promised with the with the rainbow that he will never do that again, and that wonderful promise, and we see that rainbow. But sin that went on that ark, also sin came off that ark, and the Bible tells us they were messed up again. And then the last movement. The first movement was God created all these things, put color in, created all these things, spoke, and created. And then we have the story of God creating people. And this wonderful story said it was very, very, very good. Then the third movement was a thud. And this last moment, this last movement is hope. We begin to see things that had gone badly, that God was already working to bring hope for all of us. In Genesis 3:21, God covers them through the skin of animals. He takes their nakedness and their shame. And in that glimpse, in that little glimpse, in so many little glimpses we have in this first chapter of the book, we start seeing God at work. We start seeing his grace and his mercy. And one day, as God was covered them as an act of grace, one day God covered us with the grace of Jesus. And then Genesis 3:15 says this, when he talked about the curse and the serpent, he says, I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head and you will strike his heel. Those words are words that many of us have not understood. They're also words of hope. Because what is said there is that the story does not end. We don't close the book and say it's done. It just didn't work out. But we have a promise. We have a promise of the cross of Jesus. We have the promise of the offspring of this woman will come, the Messiah, will crush the head of Satan and sin and fear and judgment. And see, we have an advantage because we are on the other side of the cross. And we know through our experiences that it's true. And so the rest of the Bible, from here on out, is God's story of how he kept that promise and made it possible for us to enter into a loving relationship with him. That we can engage together. That when we hear God's upper story and the promises we have in the first chapter, that we hang on to those promises. We see God's wonderful creative work. We see when God breathed into people and created each one of us, and he breathed, that God is intimate and personal and cares about each one of us. And then we'll read over the next 30 weeks of the lower story, people in the Bible and the experiences of that. But the most important thing that you cannot forget is this. That God's story is your story. And God desires for your story to have a good ending. The upper story, we get frustrated because we don't know what's going on. And at times we say, God, where are you? And I know there's times where we're going to need to go to our mirrors at our homes and we're going to have to look in there when things aren't going good and we feel like we're not worthy and we feel like everything is going against us and things aren't happening, that we're going to have to look in there and say that that you are the pinnacle of God's creative work. And we do that. And we confess that. And we look in the mirror, we realize that God loves each one of us so much. And he desires a relationship so much that he sent us Jesus, and we will get to that. And one other thing I want to say about the story is this. Jesus was not there just in the New Testament. Jesus was there from the beginning. And every chapter that we go through will be glimpses of Jesus, of pointing us towards the Messiah. And if we can look at that and we can think about that, then it gives us great hope in the mix of darkness. Let us pray. Lord, I pray that for many of us, the story has been ingrained in us. We know the story. But for some of us, we don't. And for others, we know the story, but yet we don't know how that story fits into our story. And Lord, I pray that we would, through these next 30 weeks, come with fresh eyes and a willing spirit, that our hearts aren't hardened to already say, yeah, we already know how this works, but we come with the expectation that James writes about that says, don't just be hearers of the word or understand the word, be doers of God's word. And I pray, Lord, throughout these next 30 weeks, as we as a congregation, from the littlest to the oldest, come together and learn afresh, and that God's word is living and active. And I pray through that living, active word that we can be transformed and that we can be people that you've called us to be, faithful. Lord, we are the pinnacle of your creative work, your masterpiece, the treasure of your heart, and the apple of your eye. And if we can just internalize that and realize that, the things that we deal with, we can get through it with your grace and your mercy. In Jesus' name, amen.